Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. It's been almost 3 years since the annual New York Television Festival, dubbed Small Screen Sundance by New York Magazine, happened. What's going on here? When will the next edition go on? Will it ever go on? We'll explore this situation next. Also ahead, Issa Rae's huge new TV deal and our classic trivia question of the week. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker and TuneIn Radio, and presented on Verbal, iHeartRadio's podcast network, and Amazon Music. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book or two when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details in a few minutes. Thank you for tuning us in on this early Wednesday afternoon, earlier than normal for us when we do a special edition on a Wednesday. And welcome to the program all about TV's current and future. 54 degrees at the top of the hour. In case you're wondering why we are on 2 hours earlier than our normal start time, it's because at 2:30 Eastern time, Univision is holding a special virtual event that I'll be covering for Media Village, the Media Leadership website, and hope to file a report on that tomorrow morning for either publication later in the week or sometime next week. So because of that, we moved up our show to this very hour. And we're happy to have you with us. And if you'd like to weigh in on the topics we're covering today or other thoughts about TV's current and future, well, go right ahead and give us a call, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anywhere you're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn Radio. As always, if you're shy about the phone, it's no problem with us. We got a chat room for you, and it's all ready for you. It's SimonApple04 by name, and you can find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while the program is happening, we invite you to check in with Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk Radio speaker or tune-in screen. Follow the instructions. Other people can be live with you. As always, we start things off with some news notes. Insecure creator and star Issa Rae became extremely secure in her TV future this morning. Rae gained a 5-year agreement with Warner Media to develop content for HBO, HBO Max, and Warner Brothers Television through her Hooray operation. The deal includes first dibs with big and small screen feature films Hooray develops. Insecure is filming its fifth and last season on HBO right now, and Hooray is writing season 2 of a Black Lady sketch show starting on HBO April 23rd. Coming up from Hooray, new HBO series The Vanishing Half, Nice White Parents, and Seen and Heard, which is an unscripted series, plus HBO Max original series Rap Bleak. We can't say the second word. It's a curse one. Former ESPN co-host Jemele Hill and The Good Place creator Michael Schur are taking advisory roles at Meadowlark Media, the programming venture launched earlier this year by former ESPN president John Skipper and personality Dan Le Batard. Both Hill and Schur will help create new Meadowlark initiatives and assist with business development. So far, Meadowlark has set up a podcast hosted by Brockmire star Hank Azaria as Brockmire. ABC's Thursday night revival of game show The Chase encountered a job stoppage by its writing staff. A Writers Guild of America East spokesperson says the strike was provoked by Chase producer ITV America refusing to honor elements of the agreement with those writers. ITV America, through a statement released earlier today, believes the Guild wants a new deal that would, if accepted, make The Chase unworkable to produce. Now, the first season of The Chase has already run 9 episodes, has already been produced, and ABC has yet to rule on a second season. So far, the ratings suggest they will, so this work stoppage impacts a possible second season of the program. Now, some quickies. Apple TV Plus will grant Britcom trying a third season. May 14th will be opening day for season 2, running 8 episodes. Discovery Plus will premiere Restaurant Recovery April 15th. The premise, family-owned eateries impacted by the coronavirus pandemic and existence-saving renovations. And the third and final season of The Kominsky Method, with Michael Douglas' solo star, Alan Arkin, and the other solo star not happening, will unfold on Netflix May 28th. 6 episodes make up season 3, and yes, the absence of Arkin will be explained some in the course of that season. And that is news notes for today. In a moment, our classic trivia question of the week, and then our main topic of this Wednesday, what's going on with the New York Television Festival? The first of words from the fine folks at Audible.com. To all you Outlander fans out there, we got some wonderful news for you this afternoon. You have the opportunity through Audible.com to hear for yourself the book that started that popular series, All. off, I should say. That's Outlander Book 1 by Dana Gallivan. Outlander Book 1. And you can hear it right now. All it takes, a free trial run with Audible.com. If you haven't heard, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and inspiration. There's over 200,000 titles to choose from. And the best part is you can listen to them on any device you want, including whatever you're hearing us on right now, at Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, etc. Just sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. That's audibletrial.com/televised. You get one free audiobook, that one-month trial, great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com, and wonderful health and wellness information that could make a difference for you or someone you love. And get this, if you are already an Amazon Prime member, you're in greater luck. You get two audiobooks for your trial of one. And that second book can come from the growing catalog of Audible Originals. We're talking original, terrific audio productions and podcasts, the best of Broadway, off-Broadway, and regional theater, and great one-woman and one-man shows. So how about using this midweek to hear how Audible.com can transform the way you hear the world? And as I always say, it makes a great gift, birthday, anniversary, wedding, etc., for you or someone you love. All it takes, check out audibletrial.com/televised. Now time for our classic trivia question of the week, second time around with this question we introduced on Monday. And we have a pair of musical prizes for you. We have the original motion picture soundtrack of Star Wars, Episode 1, The Phantom Menace by John Williams. And for all you Wycliffe Jean fans, Carnival Volume 2, Memoirs of an Immigrant. And here's the question where you can win both CDs by. On the series Super Dave and Bizarre, which introduced the character of Super Dave Osborne, who was Super Dave Osborne's announcer sidekick? The guy that wore all those fancy jackets, very colorful, very plaid. Who was Super Bowl or Super Dave Osborne's announcer sidekick? Who was Super Dave Osborne's announcer sidekick? If you know the answer, you know the drill. Email me, simonapple0@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. We're going for our third weekly winner in a row, fourth over the last month. And all it takes is to email me at simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget, don't just give me the answer. Give us your name, your mailing address. So if you win, we get the prize out to you as soon as possible. Once again, here's the question. Who was Super Dave Osborne's announcer sidekick? So play in to win today. SimonApple04@yahoo.com. SimonApple04@yahoo.com. If we don't get a winner by the end today, we'll post the question tomorrow morning on Facebook and on Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's Facebook Simon Applebaum. That's my name tag there. And at Twitter, it's at UBC Simon TWBT. By the way, we now have over 755 followers of my Twitter feed, which has a lot of late-breaking TV news and much, much more that we post every day. So check it out. And, again, get your answer in. Sooner you do, sooner you have that chance to win and be our third weekly winner in a row. Let's make it happen today, if at all possible. And, of course, as always, all the very best. And now, our main topic with a comment. In 2005, a group of people led by former Comedy Central executive Terrence Gray had a wonderful idea. What if we could give local TV series wannabe creators the opportunity to get into the business? How? By doing what film festivals do all the time all over the world. Do a competition where they would create their material. It would be seen and judged by people in the TV industry. In this case, pilots for the series that they want to do. And at the same time, why don't we make this a meeting place where these pilot makers could have one-on-one pitch discussions with people in the business, with companies in the business, ranging from Netflix to NBC Universal to CBS to Fox to individual production companies like Funny or Die and groups like Creative Arts Agency. Well, that's how in 2005 the New York Television Festival was born. And it turned out to be a hit right off the bat. New York Magazine, as I mentioned, the tease called it the small screen Sundance. And over the last decade and a half, the New York Television Festival became not only a cause célèb event here in New York, it also gave birth to the TV festival movement. Series Fest in Denver, ATX in Austin, Texas, ATV in Atlanta, Norfolk in Long Island, they all prospered because of the New York Television Festival. And some of the participants in the festival have gone on to have wonderful careers in television. either as series creators or as program development people. And along the way, Gray also found his partner in work and life, Erin Day. The New York Television Festival also holds a special place for me because 13 and a half years ago, my first guest on this very program was at that time the programming director at the festival, Ned Canty. I will always be deeply appreciated to Ned for being, of anybody in the TV industry, the first to step up and give a new program about where TV is at and where it's going a shot. He did, and I will always be very grateful for it. And it led to our commitment that when we cover the New York Television Festival, that we have a preview program with Terrence or Erin or another festival official, and that following the festival, we highlight on this program through exclusive interviews some of the winners in the best comedy category, drama category, unscripted categories, et cetera, et cetera. And they've always been terrific. And we do that, by the way, for other festivals around the country, such as Series Fest. It also, incidentally, the success of this festival led to Tribeca Film Festival adapting television and incorporating television pilots and TV series into their event, and other film festivals around the country, like Bentonville, formed by Gina Davis. We had Wendy Guerrero recently from Kickstart Entertainment, which came out of the work of the Bentonville Film Festival and television on this very program. The last New York Television Festival was held from July 14th to 20th, 2018. I still have the program with me. It's right in front of me right now. For the 2018 festival, Comedy Central was involved, HBO was involved, Audible was involved, ABC Studios was involved, WeTV, True TV, Hulu, Red Arrow Studios, Topic, Lionsgate, the TV Academy, Pop TV, BBC America, and many, many other organizations were involved, deeply involved in the festival. And I'm sure that any one of those companies will tell you that that festival, that participation, made a great difference to them in terms of seeing the incredible variety of talent in New York and around the country that participated in the festival. In 2019, in a message posted on the New York TV Festival's website, www.nytvf.com, Gray let the world know that there would not be a New York Television Festival in 2019. Because of an effort to make the festival more valuable to both the independent TV community it fostered, as well as to the very program suppliers, distributors, makers, studios that were involved. And Gray also saw that with mega content services coming on board like Apple TV Plus, Disney Plus, and now Paramount Plus and Discovery Plus, et cetera, that it was time to rework the festival and make it work better. So he made the call, and it was a tough call, to not have a festival in 2019 and to have it in 2020. And in fact, he ended the message saying, we look forward to all of us getting together in 2020. Well, we're now in late March 2021, and there was no festival last year. And at this very moment, no one knows the status of whether there will be a festival this year. Think about this, that while there was no New York Television Festival last year, despite the coronavirus pandemic, every other major TV festival, Series Fest in Denver, ATX in Atlanta, in Austin, Texas, ATV in Atlanta, what was ITVF Now Catalyst, which went from New England to Des Moines, Iowa, they all did their thing. They all made the pivot to be virtual rather than in person. So did North Fork, as anyone who might have caught our episodes last fall can attest to. The question comes up, what is going on with this festival? Where is everyone at? Why didn't we get one last year? And will we get one this year? Right now, the answer is, at my end, I don't know. because apparently nobody is communicating what is going on. Ever since that post in the New York Television Festival's website, there has been no communication whatsoever, no press release, no Facebook or Twitter postings from the festival organizers or Lippin Group, the public relations representatives for the festival, to say, here's what's happening, what's going on. One of the things I now see as a mantra, and I believed it ever since I did the Landmark Forum, is that any situation, no matter how dire it is, can be resolved when people communicate. And in order for people to communicate, something very simple has to happen. Whatever the communication is, whatever you have to say, it's got to come out of your brain, out of the mouth, and out in the open, because that's how it gets resolved. People, for the most part, don't read minds. When you get something out in the open, it has the opportunity, the possibility of being resolved. And that hasn't happened with the New York Television Festival. And sadly, it is a crime. It is a crime for everybody involved, from the organizers to the independent TV community across this country and across the world, who found this event a very special part of their lives, a breakthrough event for their lives and their careers. And I will also add all the other events that this festival helped get off the ground. And frankly, at a time where there are more TV opportunities than ever, where we are in this era of plentiful TV, smart TV, diverse TV, and now interactive TV, and with all the many services that have started from mega content services like Apple TV Plus and Disney Plus, Discovery Plus and HBO Max and Peacock, not to mention Topic Now has a service. Not to mention the fact of, about all the new programming services that have started over the last year that we've covered on this program, distributed through smart TV sets and smart TV devices, and services that will be starting up, and to mention content aggregators like Cinedigm and Feature Today and Jukin Media and the folks behind Baby First TV. And now there's talk about crowdfunding coming back into action. And with this new effort with NFTs, maybe blockchain and cryptocurrency is a way to finance new content in television and film and other entertainment. It would be a crime if in this expanding era of television, there is no New York TV Festival or something like it. With that in mind, I want to share with you two big thoughts. First of all, earlier today, I emailed two people that I know very well at Lippin to let us know what is going on. Say something. Let us know what is happening with this festival. You know, let's get out of the dark here. And I also would let them know, and I'll let you know right now, that if Terrence and Aaron Day or somebody at the festival would like to come on this program and explain what's going on and what's happening, we're all ears, folks. This is not about making anybody wrong. This is just getting straight with what is going on with this festival and where things stand. So Terrence Gray, if you get to hear this, or Aaron Day, somebody involved with NYTBF, contact me. We'll put you on. No questions asked on a future edition. That's number one. And number two, if in fact the television festival people have disbanded, for whatever the reason, it's time for somebody else to pick up the slack and run the ball. I have two possibilities for you. First possibility, the Mayor's Office of Media Entertainment. Under Andy Castillo, they have done a fantastic job over the last 6 months of getting TV production back on track in spite of the coronavirus pandemic, filming of major shows, from the Equalizer to FBI to Lorna Special Victims Unit. It's gone better than expected. No big COVID outbreaks. And I think the mayor's office has done a fantastic job under Ann. And given the fact that they have a great track record of doing events like the Meeting New York events, why not? And they were involved, by the way, in a good chunk of the festival's existence. So they would be a natural way to go. If they can't do it, here's another possibility, the New York Film Festival. Wouldn't it be great if one of the great film festivals of the world could take this on? And incidentally, if they don't, they should take it on, something like it. Tribeca can. It will, by the way, coming back in person in June. So how about a New York Film Festival? Do a television festival. Why not? Take this TV festival on. I want you to know that tomorrow I am going to contact Ann and her gang at the mayor's office to see if she'd like to come on this program, and maybe she's heard about what's going on with the TV festival, and we'd love to have her back. This is a personal deal because of the fact that they took a chance on our show. When we were looking for a guest, they answered the call. And in many ways, I owe the existence of this program to the New York Television Festival. And again, it would be a crime if, with all the other festivals out there devoted to television, that the one that started all would not be around from here on in. We'll keep you posted about how our effort is. And if any of you out there know what's going on with the festival, contact me, email me, call me. We'd like to know. We will keep you updated about this. And in the meantime, if you want to see the last things that were done about the festival in 2019, go to www.nytvf.com. That's www.nytvf.com. Again, one last time. Bring this festival back. It's time. We're getting rid of this pandemic. We're licking it. It can be done both in person and virtually. If you do it this fall, it should be pretty much in person. Because by that time, it looks like things are going to be going to next normal. It can be done. And frankly, I think it must be done. It is a wonderful event that brought a community together and expanded it. And I think as much as anything else is responsible for the incredible breadth and depth of television that we have right now, which promises to get even more wider with more opportunity in the years ahead. So come on, New York Television Festival. Go Phoenix. Rise like that bird. And let's get you back on track. Like to hear what you think? Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter. I'd love to hear your reaction to this. And it, by the way, if you're somebody who was a contestant, an entrant at the New York City, I'd like to hear from you too. What are you hearing? So hopefully, let's see if we can get some feedback by tomorrow, by Friday's episode, all right? And we'll let you know. And again, we'll keep you posted. And speaking of Friday's episode, that's our next one. And we got a good hour in store for you from the popular Netflix series Nailed It. My lead guest will be executive producer Patrick Duty. Nailed It has a new season coming up, and we'll tell you all about it. And then we'll revisit Rival Peak. It was a unique interactive TV project running on Facebook Watch and on Facebook's own smart TV device, Portal TV. It was an amazing race pack competition where all the characters were created by artificial intelligence, and you at home had the opportunity to put them through their paces. Jacob Navik, who was on our show last fall from Gemma Technologies, the company that came up with the process by which Rival Peak happened, he'll be back to tell us what's gone on and where things go from here. And incidentally, it looks like since our interview last fall with Jacob, Rival Peak really took itself to another level. He'll tell us all about it. That's all coming on Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow We Televise. Before we leave you today, some closing thoughts by an actor who we learned passed away yesterday, George Segal. If you're a fan of the Goldbergs, you know him as one of the recurring stars on that program. But if you are a movie buff, and if you're a movie buff, you know that George Segal in the 60s and 70s was one of the top stars in the medium. His breakthrough role won him a Best Supporting Actor Oscar nomination for Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf. His co-supporting star, Sandy Dennis, was nominated for Best Supporting Actress and won. From there, Segal played his career, which actually started in TV shows like Naked City, guest appearances all over the place. He then became popular in a series of comedies where he played the everyman sort of offbeat hero, the guy that was always, you know, tossing and turning with life's inconsistencies, whether it was films like Bye Bye Braverman or The Owl and the Pussycat. His co-star was some of the best talents around. And then when his leading man part of his career went apart, he then got television back in his thinking with Just Shoot Me, where he was terrific in a supporting actor role, as well as guest shots in other shows, and finally, in the last few years, The Goldbergs. Segal had to go in for heart bypass surgery earlier this week. Unfortunately, there were complications post-surgery, and he passed away yesterday at the age of age 87. Segal was a wonderful actor. He was more versatile, I think, than we all thought. And to be honest, I think a lot of people really sort of took him for granted because he played the everyman kook, or sort of everyman comedic, you know, observer of life, so good and so consistently in film in the 60s and 70s that I think a lot of people took him for granted. He was a much better actor than you think. I hope that YouTube can dig up some of the early performances he did on television on shows like Naked City, and you'll see what I mean. Of course, condolences to his family and his many, many friends, especially those who had the chance to discover his talents in recent years on The Goldbergs. Once again, George Segal passed away at the age of 87. Thank you all for joining us on the special early edition of Tomorrow Be Televised. Again, we'll be back at our regular time period, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific on Friday. My guests will be from Netflix's Nailed It executive producer Patrick Duty, and from Jen Vidic Dolly, the host of my Rival Peak on Facebook Watch and Facebook Smart TV Device Portal TV, Jacob Navick. If you came in late on today's program, want to catch up an episode you missed, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. Don't forget to check out the podcast of this and other recent episodes. All you got to do is go to www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. And don't forget, you can catch the podcast as well on Amazon Music, on iTunes, on Apple TV, Spreaker Podcast, TuneIn.com, Verbal.com, and iHeartRadio.com and their podcast network. I'd love to hear what you thought about today's program, especially my thoughts about the New York Television Festival, current state, future state. Let me know. Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget, that's how you get involved in our Classic Trivia Question of the Week. One more time, the question, who was Super Dave Osborne's announcing sidekick? Who was Super Dave Osborne's announcing sidekick? If you know, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com, and you might win the Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace soundtrack by the one and only John Williams, and Wycliffe Jean Carnival Volume 2. So love to hear what you think. Do that email. Follow me on Facebook and LinkedIn. Find me on Twitter at UBC Simon TWT. Whenever you get way in, I do respond within 24 hours, and there's only one reason why that is, because what you say happens, and it matters. What you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed here are those of the participants, not to say those of Blog Talk Radio and other distributors of this program. Our production associate is Mandolin. Andy Toe is Blog Talk Radio's general manager, with Jay Sonnenberg, head of content. The co-founders of this enterprise are Alan Levy and Bob Charish. Tomorrow Be Televised is brought to you by Audible.com and Amazon Division. Remember, Audible transformed the way you hear the world. For a free audiobook or two and much, much more, it's audibletrial.com/televised. Again, it makes a great gift for you or someone you love. For Tomorrow Be Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a great rest of your Wednesday. We are back more than 48 hours from now at our regular time period, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn Radio, plus Amazon Music, Verbal, and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. As always, whatever you're up to between now and then, please make it safe, make it great, keep doing what you need to do so that we lift this pandemic now more than ever. And, oh, one more time, happy birthday. My mother turned 9-0 yesterday. She had a fantastic time. Mwah. Love you always and forever. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.